This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. We're here talking draft prospects in the future. Don't forget to like us, subscribe to us, all those things, Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Evan, I come in last night. I love coming on after the games, right? And the Pistons play, and they methodically beat the Washington Wizards to go to 37-29 on the season. There's 16 games left, and they're in a virtual tie with Indiana and Milwaukee for either the 4th, 5th, or 6th playoff spot, which seems unimaginable at the start of the year, considering the Pistons only won 14 games last year and 17 the year before, and were a complete and total mess. So, correct me if I'm wrong. I ask you a question. Is the NBA trade deadline passed?
Yes.
Okay. It's passed. Now, correct. Why, when I first went in and I said, hey, I forget the guy's name. Welcome. It was Pistons Weekly. Pistons Weekly, the show that and I said, hey, welcome to Pistons Weekly. Your thoughts? And the caller says, the Pistons, you know, they need to trade the 4 first round draft picks to the Suns to get Devin Booker. And I'm thinking to myself, the Pistons just won here to put themselves in a position to end up maybe not only getting to the playoffs, actually making noise. I mean, even if they played the Knicks, I think they have a chance. And certainly against the Bucks and the Pacers, they would have a chance. Cade Cunningham has emerged as a top 10 player. And, you know, the Durin's come on. Asar Thompson's come on. Tobias Harris, Hardaway, especially Malik Beasley have been perfect for him. Why the hell are we talking about trading for Devin Booker right now? And it turns out, I guess, the Arizona Republic put that out, which is always like, hey, and all of a sudden I'm getting Devin Booker calls, nothing about the Pistons that's pertinent right now, and maybe nothing about the Pistons that'll ever be pertinent. The chances of the Pistons trading 4 number one draft picks to the Suns for Devin Booker, who, by the way, has a, you know, is 29 years old. He's going to be, his cap hit is starts at 59 this year goes up to like $65 million for the next few years. And now it's like Ivy's hurt. Nobody cares. Let's trade him for a boatload, that type of thing. Why are we talking about that? Why did we go on and on and on and on and on and on about Myles Garrett? When we knew that Myles Garrett was not going to come to Detroit and play for the Lions, there was no chance. They were in no position to sign Myles Garrett. Why did we go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about Max Crosby at the trade deadline coming to the Lions?
Because we love names.
Why did we go on and on and on and on and beyond on and on and on that the Tigers were going to trade Tarek Skubal for not a player, but a boatload? Why are we so, like, forgetting, especially about the Pistons right now, about what is coming up and what is realistic, and only focused in on a name? It was completely inappropriate to think they're going to trade for Devin Booker or should be talking about it right now. And I don't even know that if it's appropriate at all, because Jaden Ivey's going to come back. But like Hutch, because he's hurt, he's damaged goods, and I forgot about him. What kind of asinine world are we living in now? What kind of dumbasses have we become to the point where that's what we're focused in on? I mean, I understood it. I mean, I got a call one day on a Saturday a few years ago. And I get a call, and I'm like, I have no idea what this is. It's like, hey, Pat, I think the Pistons should trade Jeremy Grant to it was the 76ers, right? For two number ones and get Ben Simmons. And I'm thinking to myself, why would the Pistons want to do that, to trade for Ben Simmons, who seriously – we don't have our basketball rim anymore, but I would have liked my chances of taking some 3-point shots against Ben Simmons in a 3-point shooting contest. I'm sure I would lose, but I don't know. Haven't you seen me shoot? I can make those 3-pointers.
So, Pat, I think Garrett and Crosby made a little bit more sense to me because people think that the Lions are on the cusp of winning the Super Bowl or getting to the Super Bowl and are one player away on defense. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it made more sense. When Devin Booker was brought up to me about these four first-round picks, I said you guys would have to be out of your god darn mind to think that the Pistons would mortgage their entire future, because their window is going to be within these next 5 years, for a player in Devin Booker. I get it. He's from Grand Rapids. I get it. He supports Detroit teams. I understand that. But Devin Booker couldn't win an NBA title with Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, that great team that went to the NBA Finals. Why the hell would I mortgage my future from Trajan Langdon, who has seemingly pressed all the right buttons from the moment he arrived here in Detroit, for one player that's going to cost an arm and a leg on top of all the draft picks? Not to mention, the Pistons don't even have a first-round pick this year because they traded it to the Knicks and it was protected, and they're doing so well that they're not going to have that pick. It doesn't make any sense. People see names, they see the sexiness, and they want to attach themselves to it. But when I heard Devin Booker to the Pistons, I get it. I understand everything. But that's not what's going to put the Pistons over the hump. What's going to put the Pistons over the hump is a stretch four or five that can really change their game, because right now their bigs literally have to play in the paint, whether it's Beef Stew or Jalen Duren. And so that's what would change this Pistons team, in my opinion, not another shooting guard.
And it doesn't have to be a friggin' Devin Booker.
No.
You don't need a 26-point-per-game.
No, Malik Beasley is a perfect example, Pat, of how it can work otherwise. Because, I mean, this is a guy that, listen, he's played on like 7 NBA teams at this point, and he found a home here, and he's perfect for what Cade Cunningham said. Like, everybody always talked about the shooting around Cade Cunningham. No, it needed to be the right shooting. He had shooters in Bogdanovich and Burks, but they weren't the right players for him. And I just – Pat, you're right. People are asinine. They want the names. They want the sexiness. They want what have you done for me lately, I think is a good way to put it. And they see what he did previously with the Suns. I just wouldn't mortgage my entire future for one player, especially when the Pistons just got it going with this core that they have. Imagine if you add a piece that's not going to cost you $60 million and four first-round picks, that what you could really make this team into.
Well, yeah, and also, look, I've gotten this call, too. Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey, they're a better team without Jaden Ivey. I've heard that. And I'm like, well, do you remember their turnaround and who was very integral in their turnaround? Do you remember when it happened and mm-hmm. how Jaden Ivey played a key role on it? You know, they won four out of his last five games, six out of his eight, and a lot were on the road, West Coast and things. And by the way, on Booker, if he's on a team with Durant and they're 30 and 35, why do you think he's going to come here to the Pistons and be a magical formula? And you want to get rid of Ivy. And Ivy's contract will be reasonable.
And I also don't think that you can bring in a player that would be more of an alpha than Cade Cunningham. And what I mean by that, Devin Booker is a star in this league, but I think if you put him next to Cade Cunningham, you're taken away from everything that Cade Cunningham has done. This is his team. You bring in another guy like that that needs his 25 shots a game or 20 shots a game, you're changing the dynamic of this team because of that. And I'm just not sold on it. Now, I wouldn't be sold on Kevin Durant either, but I think the way that the Pistons are building this team with a quote-unquote without a superstar, even though Cade is on that cusp, but I think where fans are missing is we haven't been blessed enough to be able to see Cade and Jaden really play on the floor together other than that stretch that you talked about. And so, like, and also, I don't think a team is willing to trade their star player for a guy coming off of a broken leg. Say what you want about it, but if I'm that team, I'm probably not giving away assets for that, not knowing what you're getting back in return. But he's perfect for the Pistons right now, is my whole point. He's perfect for this team. You have a slasher, have a guy that can take it to the rim, where Hardaway, Tobias, Kay does it a little bit, but at his own pace. Like, they don't have that piece right now, and if you had that piece on this team, they'd be even better.
Well, obviously, if you just put Booker in there, you'd figure out a way to make it work. But you got to be careful because it's not, and this is the same with what we were talking about before. You're not taking pieces of a puzzle and stacking them up vertically.
Mm-mm.
What you're doing is trying to take the pieces of the puzzle and fit them again together so they're horizontally and flat on your table and fit together. So if you have two edge rushers, okay, that are premier, that means you don't have a secondary maybe. And I, for the life of me, did the Lions get knocked out of the playoffs because of their edge rushers? No. They got knocked out of the playoffs, one, because their quarterback, you know, went into the shitter in that game.
Yep.
They lost the game because their offensive coordinator really, really, you know, just, I don't know, he got full of himself with dumb calls. They lost the game on defense mostly because Kendall Vildor and Maurice Norris were out there. Who they just pulled off the practice squad. And, you know, obviously the Vildor sighting. So they didn't have corners, and they didn't lose because of an edge rusher. They could have had multiple edge rushers, and they would have lost that game. And yet people think if you just stack it together like some kind of fantasy league, and then they don't look at the cap numbers for the future.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way Brad Holmes would be completely irresponsible to try to trade for one of those guys. And then when you say it, people go nuts because they just want it to happen. I don't understand that.
Well, and I mean, the problem
you
is...
You can't have that. It's, you know, I always make jokes about it. It's like, yeah, I want to do the show here with Dia Lupa coming in and, you know, singing a song. Or Jennifer Aniston sitting on my lap while I'm doing the show. It's not going to happen.
Okay. No, not at all. But I think you see so many of these talking head TV shows where for 4 hours straight they're talking about Myles Garrett and where he could land, when in reality everybody knew it was a play to get himself more money and the Browns were never going to get rid of him.
No, they did not. I said that. You've probably thought that because you're, you know, You have some minds of sense, do you? But, you know, I mean, a lot of, you know, when you say that, people get pissed at, oh, he wants to leave. I've never heard of a player staying. I said, every time a player does that, asks for that trade, it's always to try to get a better contract from the team he's on. The mm-hmm. team he's on knows that. They give him that permit. It happened with Matthew Stafford. He wasn't going to the Vikings.
No.
Why would he go to the Vikings?
Or the Raiders. Like, why the hell would he go there? Or the Giants.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what? It's just everybody is enamored by what they see on social media. There's every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a blog these days where they can put their opinion out there. And what the sad part is no fans want to admit when there is a deficiency within their team. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Screw you for ever saying anything bad about our team. When it's not necessarily talking bad, it's just saying we don't agree with that opinion. And that's the beauty of sports, is that there are so many opinions out there. But I'm with you, Pat. When I heard that Devin Booker crap, I was like, no, they just started getting going. Why would we change the formula that got you there? And I don't think Trajan Langdon would ever do that. I really, really don't.
Why are we talking about it right now? There's
Well, especially with the way they're playing. And look what he just did at the trade deadline with Schroeder. The guy, he instantly made the team better by getting a backup point guard. And he's now playing late in games. I just It's flabbergasting to me, but the problem is, I think, too, Pat, is that once a team starts winning, the casual fan is going to jump on that bandwagon, and then they insert their opinion when they've watched four games all season, and they see a sexy name that they see on NBA 2K on their PlayStation, and so they want to add it. And I think that's a big problem, too, is that there's so many that parachute in when the team gets good.
Yeah, if they hear of a name, here's the key to being good in sports. Picking up the names that aren't known, and they end up being known.
Yeah. Right?
It's not.
No, you're right.
You know, how often do you have a big name changing an organization and it changing it around? It happens unless it's the Mavericks, who've got their head so far up their ass, that they, you know, trade Luka Doncic, you know, or something like that. But the buyer's remorse for this stuff is usually huge.
Right. I mean, even if you go look at, like, the Lions under Matt Patricia, remember how everybody was excited that they got Trey Flowers from the Patriots, the best top free agent signing of the winter, blah, blah, blah. The guy was an utter flop with the Lions, right? And so just because there's a name doesn't always mean that that happens. Like in basketball, you can really only put it on LeBron James in the last 20 years that's been able to go to a franchise and win it with another team. Like,
well,
Chris Paul.
Durant.
Oh, yeah, Durant. But he didn't win before he got to Golden State. That's
my point. Golden State won before he got there.
Right. And so other than those two guys, you can look at all the movement, the Paul Georges, the Hardens, the Durants, all of these guys that you think you're going to bring in that are going to put you over the hump. No, it's the teams that are actually put together. Go look at the Milwaukee Bucks winning with Giannis, right? That wasn't a team full of superstars other than the guy that they drafted. The Lakers teams that they have, I mean, they mortgaged everything to get their players that they have now. But
well,
look at
with Milwaukee, for example, you know, they made a great deal to get Chris Middleton from here.
Absolutely.
You know,
but that that was a second round pick from the Pistons. That wasn't a guy that everybody was clamoring over.
Right.
Yeah, it goes to your point.
They traded out Bledsoe for Holiday.
Yep.
As an example. Once in a while, you'll have a big time guy going for another big time guy. And it'll work out better for the team. For example, Kawhi and DeRozan are kind of on the same level as the players.
Sure.
But Kawhi, you know, got there and was the right piece for them to win a championship, right? So, you know, it's making astute moves like that that often pay out. And, gosh, this is a town that should know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when has anybody come into this town as a free agent? Ever. And, you know, I mean, a big, high-priced free agent and changed around a franchise.
John Lure.
John Lure. Oh, that, yeah. Like his, wasn't his, his father-in-law, the coach, Brian Billick.
I know. All I remember is he got like a 4-year, $48 million deal, and I'm like, what?
Well, think about it with the Pistons.
Well, Blake Griffin, that trade is a prime example. Yes, you got a superstar, but in the long run, what do they do for you?
No, it sets you back several years. And, you know, Ben Gordon, Charlie Villanueva, Josh Smith.
And
baseball, Javi Baez, you know, these different players. The Lions have had a history of people getting excited about their – when was the last time the Lions had a free agent, a big-time free agent signing that ended up remotely paying off?
That's a free agent?
They picked up Golden Tate and he helped them, but nobody was thinking that was like the end, you know.
But Golden benefited from Calvin Johnson, too, so that's...
He was good, but I'm trying... But that wasn't like one of those...
Yeah, like Vandenbosch, maybe, but he was just meh when he was here.
Okay, he was just all right.
I was going to say Carlton Davis, but he was... Amik Robertson? I don't know that.
Well, think about it. You know, the safety, Glover Quinn, is pretty good, but it was some big name that comes in.
No, but he got paid pretty good from Houston when he came here.
Think of all the ones that have been bust.
Like all of them, basically.
Yeah. And with the Tigers.
Oh, David Montgomery. That's a very good one.
That was a good one, but what? He was a $6 million guy.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right.
Wasn't he like $6 million or something? When was the last time any team got some big free agent in this town and it turned it around? Some would say you got to go back to Pudge, but Pudge, it didn't end well. Pudge showed up here in 2004. By 2008, he was traded for Farnsworth.
Yeah, he was a New York Yankee.
Yeah, and. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, at the end for V-Mart, the end for Maglio, even when they re-signed Miggy, you know, that didn't go well.
No, I mean, I'm trying. You're right. Even like Verlander was out of here. He didn't win. That was a guy that they paid a ton of money. Scherzer, they didn't give the money to. God, Pat, that is a good. Who is the best free agent signing that Detroit's ever had?
I mean, like a big one. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
The great elixir has come in and actually been the great elixir.
Wasn't Juan Gonzalez.
No, I mean, they were lucky he turned that down. The Brinkett has turned out pretty well. I mean, they got him in a trade.
Yeah, but they can't win. Long-term.
You know, but they're not winning. So, I honestly, tell me why you would want friggin' Devin Booker.
I completely agree.
Why are we talking about it right now? In retrospect, don't we look like a bunch of assholes for talking about Myles Garrett? And myself included. I'll put myself in there. I'll call myself asshole number one. A lot of people appreciate that. Okay? So why are we talking about, you know, Myles Garrett and Max Crosby and the endless Terrence Skubal talk? We look like a bunch of dipshits. Okay? I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, I know it's talk radio, and I get it, you know, but, you know, at a certain point, I'll say it. Can I say this on my podcast? What the fuck?
Yes, you can.
Okay? What the fuck? Okay? But anyway, enough of that. I kind of like this. Man, I like it where I can swear.
Oh, yeah? No FCC here.
No FCC here. Don't forget to download our podcast. I don't advocate bad language. Fuck no, I don't. I'm kidding. I actually can talk like I really do.
I know, like a person.
Like a person. Don't forget to download us, like us, subscribe to us, wherever you get your podcast. Till next time. we'll come up with a big name. Who's it going to be? Oh, Trey Hendrickson Fever.
There you go. We got to trade for him.
Got to trade for him. Got to do it, man. Till next time, we'll see you.